have seen you. Again, we know that it's an analogy of using something that you and I can understand, the idea of sight, with an attribute that God has. Now, up on the screen, it's a passage from Genesis 6. To understand this whole idea of anthropomorphism, look at this word Lord, L-O-R-D. I've talked about this before. Whenever you see it all in caps, you'll find it only in the Old Testament. You will not see that word at all in the New Testament. You may see the word Lord, but it won't be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the personal name of God. In the Ten Commandments, when it says, do not take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain, it's talking about that specific name. There are two ways in English to pronounce it. One is Jehovah. If you've ever heard a song that talks about Jehovah, it's referring to that name. You'll see it a couple times in this passage. Here it's again, capital A, L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's either Jehovah or Yahweh. Those are the two ways that you pronounce this name. We don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but we know exactly what it means. It means uncreated. See, you and I, with our senses, can only relate to created things. You're seeing the colors reflected from the object. When white light hits it, you're not really seeing the object because you're just seeing the color that it doesn't absorb. You and I are created beings living with created mechanisms, this marvelous mechanism that we have of our eyes, and we can see and we can manipulate, but again, we can only see the color that comes from it. We can see the shades because that's the color that's coming back to our eyes so that we can see it. God, who is uncreated, sees the essence of things. Something that is so much more real than what you and I can do. God is uncreated. When people ask, where did it's coming from, our understanding that everything has to have a beginning, because that's all we can relate to, is our senses, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch. We can only absorb things that are bound by time, matter, or space. God is not bound by those. In a way, when people say, I don't believe that God is real, really, we are the things that are created. In a way, God is the only thing that is real. He's the only being that really, really is real. We are created. Our ears can only pick up the sound waves. Our eyes can only pick up the colors being reflected off of things. Our touch is only sensing what is touching our skin. We are so limited because we're finite. We're created. God is uncreated. He is the only being that is truly real. And that's what was so revolutionary with the Jewish belief system. Is that they were talking about an uncreated being. But they used human attributes, or God uses human attributes, to help us to understand him. He doesn't have hands like us. He doesn't have eyes like us. He doesn't have feet like us. He is uncreated. Does that make sense? I'm really trying to take on a tough topic here, because in order to understand God's eyes, it's so important to understand that we are a created being using created mechanisms to navigate this world, but God is uncreated. He's beyond us. It really is. It's like we are in a dark room groveling around, and God is the only one that truly can see. See, I can see the colors from you, but God can see your heart. God sees deeper than we can possibly do. Now let's look at some of the details of these passages. First of all, whenever you see, like I said, the word in the Old Testament, this capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is the personal name of God, and it means the uncreated one. This is the name that we were warned not to take in vain. Why? Because when you take it in vain and you use it flippantly, you start losing its meaning, and it becomes just another name of another God in the smorgasbord that's out there of belief systems that you can pick and choose from. See, he is not like any other God or any other belief, because again, he is uncreated. He exists independently of whether anyone believes in him. See, all the other gods, if no one believes in them, they don't really exist. He has an existence that's independent of your sight, your sound, your mind, your touch. He exists perfectly independent. Next, God created mankind in his image and declared him good. In Genesis 1:31, it says, "And God looked upon all he had made, and indeed, it was very good." See, on the other days of creation, when he created the earth, when he created the sky, when he created the oceans, when he created the animals, he said, it was good. When he created us, mankind in his image, he added "very" to the word "good." You and I are exceptional as for created beings. On the earth, there is none like us. We excel. We can go the highest, as for our spaceships that can actually go to other planets. We can go the deepest in the ocean. We have gone with submarines to the deepest part. We have climbed the highest mountain. We have gone the fastest through the air. We have gone the fastest on the land. There is no being on earth like us. Amen? We are unique. We're very good. He really was so full of joy at creating mankind to start with. After mankind received the knowledge of good and evil, we have not become so wonderful. We are totally depraved. Not only if you can see all the records that mankind can own for good things, fastest, the most creative, the most that can fly the highest, that can go the deepest in the oceans, we also own all the records for depravity. No being has destroyed the planet as bad as we are capable of. Our nuclear bombs and the destruction that we can do, our pollution, setting fires and some other things that we have done in the world. Not only do we own all the good titles, we own some bad ones too. Mankind has become depraved. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Adam and Eve giving in to the temptation of wanting this knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil is where we have the ability to put ourselves on the throne and to determine that everything revolves around me. Everything revolves around me. That's the knowledge of good and evil. It's the ability to determine even if God is good or God is evil from my perspective. It has really devastated humanity and has caused this depravity, this badness in all the world, that there's no creature that is capable of the destruction, the pollution that we are. We have become depraved. Now, this man of Noah that is talked about here, look at this. It says, God says, I'm going to blot out mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. And I'm going to destroy every man, every beast, every crawling creature, every bird of the air, because I am grieved that I have made mankind. However, verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah, of Yahweh, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. There's hope. There's hope of finding favor with God. There's a hope. There was a bright spot. of all the badness that mankind had been committed to because of his ability to put himself on the throne, there's also an opening there of coming back to what we were created to be. And that's when we come to Hebrews 4, verse 13. It says this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Here's some details from this passage, and we're going to pull them all together in a minute. God still sees everything, even the secret things. His eyes are not bound like us, where I can't see. If you go into a dark room and close and lock the door with no windows, I can't see you unless I have a camera or something in there to see you. God still sees you. Amen? He still sees you. It says everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And finally in this, we will be held accountable for everything we have done, because his uncreated eyes sees. His eyes do not depend on there being white light in the room to expose the colors so that he can see you. He's not dependent on that. He sees even the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. See, we this last week that the sin of slander is when you start guessing someone's motives. Because you can't. You are not God. I am not God. I cannot see your heart. I can only see the colors reflected off of your body when the white light hits you. That's all I can see. God, in his uncreated eyes, sees your heart. He sees your motivations. He sees the essence of you and me. His eyes are so supreme to us. We will be held accountable for everything we've done. So let's pull this together. What can we learn from this very short message, but I think so powerful? We, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have found favor with God, just as Noah did, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have found favor in the eyes of God. Why? Because when he looks at you, he sees his perfect son. It was a swap. Your knowledge of good and evil, sitting on the throne, determining even if God is good or evil, and we have given that up, and we've put that aside, and we have put on the favor of God because his only son was crucified for you and me. He was put in place of us and was sacrificed so that when God sees you, he doesn't see you in your depravity. He sees you in your perfection because of the blood of his son. Amen? We found favor. We are blessed. We are royalty. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are royalty in his sight. You have favor because of Jesus Christ. Next, we as Christ followers are called to be witnesses of what we know about God. The disciples put it this way in 1 John. It says, that to which we have seen, which we have beheld with our eyes, the things that we have touched, we proclaim to others our testimony about Jesus Christ. Again, it's what we have perceived with our eyes and what we have touched. We are to be testified of our experience being children of God. It's powerful. We're called to be witnesses. Christians, we've got to get back to this. If you are a Christ follower, you have given up your throne. You've given up your right to determine what you think is good and evil according to your perceptions, what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch. To be saved, you've got to be willing to give that up and to say, I am stepping off the throne and I am taking the salvation offered through Jesus Christ and I am letting him be my Lord and Savior. And so again, we're called to be witnesses of what we know about God. And finally, we will be held accountable for sharing this story with others. Christians, we've got to get back to it. Too many American Christians have given up being testifiers for this false doctrine that we've been talking about almost every week for 9 weeks now. This false doctrine of moral therapeutic deism, which is so prevalent in our country. Moral is that you read the Bible because it helps you to be a good person. Therapeutic, it helps you to do good. It helps you to be a better husband. It helps you. And deism, that God is out there somewhere and he has created the world like one would wind up a clock and has gone away from it and has left us the Bible to put into practice. It's a false religion that has infiltrated every American church. We've got to put that aside. And we've got to embrace this personal relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and start being testifiers instead of people that are waiting for heaven that if we're good enough, we might get in. See, because of Jesus Christ, I'm not just good. I'm very good. But it's a gift. But it comes me off the throne and putting him on the throne and saying he is my Lord and my Savior and that there's nothing I will give in comparison to what he has given me. Amen? We will be held accountable. See, in this passage, it says, I'm going to read it again. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It's all about him. It's not about me. Amen? Father, I thank you for this message. Help us as we leave here to remember that your eyes are looking on favor with us. It's not because we have done such wonderful things. It's because of what you have done for us. We have found favor in your eyes. If there's anyone here struggling with anxiety, I pray, Lord, that they will allow themselves to experience this shalom of God, this peace of God, because your eyes are upon us with favor. You are blessing us. You are keeping us. You are sustaining us. And there's nothing that is hidden from your sight. Lord, if in our hearts that we know has not been of you, just pray for a simple prayer. Lord, I confess this as sin, and I ask that you move it, that you take away anything out of my heart that's not of you. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the shalom of God, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We pray all of these things, and God's people said,